Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series in our ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Bava Batra Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet at the third and final section of the fifth Mishnah of the eighth Parak. Kotev Nechasav La'Acherim V'Niach Et Panav. In this Mishnah, we have been dealing with situations where someone is moving Yerusha around, denying a son, favoring a son, etc. What if he writes his property and leaves his sons out? Masha sasui ela in ruach chacham no chaymenos. At the end of the Mishnah, we hear value judgment. It's valid, but the chacham are unhappy with this. They look disfavorably upon the action. If his kids were not behaving properly, then chachamim do like him. They think he's a good guy for taking the Yerusha away from them. Let's see what happens. Do the Rabbanim disagree with Rav Shem Gamliel, or did they mean that it's a bad thing only if the kids are okay? Toshma, let's see if we can figure this out. We have a story about Yosef ben Yoezer. This goes back to 1st century BCE. Hayalo ben Shaloyanu Hekashura. He had a son who wasn't good. Have the Elita de Dinari. He had a bucket of coins, of gold coins. And he didn't want the kid to get it, so Kam Akdisha, it was Makdisha. What happened? Azil Nasi Bat Gadil Kalila Lile Diane Malka. He married the daughter of the fellow who made the crowns for Alexander Yanai. Olida Devitu, and she gave birth. Zavin La Binita, he went and bought her a fish. Kra Ashkach Bar Margalita, she found a precious jewel inside the fish. Amrale, so she said to him, Lo Timte La Malka, don't take it to the king, where my father works. Why, he's going to give you very little money for that jewel. Zil amte legabi gizbar, take it to the gizbarim of the Beit HaMikdash. Velota shai me'at, and don't you be the one to make an assessment on it. Why, tamiratol gavoa, kemisiratol lehadyot. That's a halacha mishnah and kiddushin, but what it means is if you say a certain amount, if it's low, then you'll be stuck with that amount. Elo lishamu ayinu, let them make the assessment, and when you agree, you agree. So what happened? Amte shamua v'tleisar iliata de dinari. They assessed it as being worth 13 buckets of coins, of gold coins. So amrile sheva ika shit leika. So they told son of Yosef ben Yoezer that, well, we have 7 buckets of gold to give you. We're missing 6. Amrile, he said, sheva havuli, so give me 7. Shita imnukta shal shamayim. And I'm donating the other 6 to shamayim. So I'll give you the whole thing for the 6. Sounds like a good guy. Amduvachatvu. Then they wrote, Yosef ben Yoezer ichnis achat, uvno ichnis sheish. So they wrote that the father gave 1 bucket, and the son gave 6 buckets. V'ikadamri, some people said, Yosef ben Yoezer ichnis achat, uvno tzi sheva, that Yosef ben Yoezer donated 1, and the son took out 7. So there's 2 ways to look at the same event. Bamidikamri ichnis michlal deshaper avad. From the fact that it says that the son donated 6, we see the son's a good guy. What's the implication of this? In other words, even a son who, when he's younger, might seem no good and he took the Yerusha away, could turn out to be a good guy, which means Chacham would say, you should not deprive him of it because he could be a good guy. Adam and the Kamri Hotzi, but on the other hand, the attitude was that he took out 7, Chadlav Shaparavid. We see our assessment was he remained a lout, and therefore the father did properly. And Halei Kalimish from now, the answer is from this story, we really can't figure out whether it's a good idea and whether Chachamim agree with Rishon Gamliel or not. So, my havi Allah, what's the halacha? Toshma. Tamar leShmuel Rav Yehuda. He told him, Shinina, my sharp student, Lo tehave be avure achsanta. Don't be the kind of person who switches Yerushalot around. Don't support or enable or confirm a situation where a Yerusha is being monkeyed around like that. Vafilu in bara bisha lebara tava, even from a bad son to a good son, and certainly not from a son to a daughter. In other words, keep Yerusha the way they are. Sounds like Chacham disagreed with Rav Shem Gamliel. Now, Tana Rabbanan, we have a parallel story. There was a guy whose kids weren't behaving properly. He gave all of his property to the great rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel. What did he do? He was not so happy with this. He took a third of what he got and sold it. Hikdishlish, he was Makdish a third. Vechazir levanav shlish, and he took the other third and gave it back to the kids. Baal nav shamai b'maklo b'tarmilo, so Shamai Azaken came traveling to see Tamin Uziel protesting that he should take it back because he's violating the wishes of the man who's now dead. So Amrle Shama Imata Cholotziat Mash Macharti Mashik Dashti, if you can somehow revert the third that I sold and the third that I was makdish, atayacholotzi mashech zarti, then you can also get back the third that I returned. Imav yatayacholotzi mashech zarti. If not, you can't. In other words, what he was saying was, I have given the third to the kids, who I think they should really get it, in such a way that there's no way to retract it, because the other two thirds I did in irrevocable kinyonim. So Amar yatayacholai ben Uziel, yatayacholai ben Uziel. Shammai said, Ben Uziel has really trapped me in a way that I can't answer. Why was Shammai opposed? Mikar my sovereign. Why was he opposed? And then now he's satisfied that this return was good. Originally, Mishum Masa de Beit Choron, the famous story, we studied this in the Darim, that happened in Beit Choron. Ditnan, Masa de Beit Choron, Be'achad Shahya Aviv Mudar Himenu Hana. There was a guy who had been madir his father Hana, so his father couldn't get benefit from him. And now he was having a wedding with his son. So what he did is, he said to his friend, I'm giving you the wedding hall and the meal. It's all yours. They're there so that my father can come and eat with you. If they're mine, I'm being makdish them. You're giving to me, I can do what I want, I'm being makdish them. I didn't give them to you for that purpose. Amarlo lo natato li et shalcha elishtei atan uvanavicha uchlim v'shotin ratzin zelazeh. You gave it to me so you and your father could sit and eat and drink together and make up. Yavon taloi b'rosho. In the meantime, I'm going to be the one with the avira of enabling people who have not gone through the proper channels to make up, making up. Amru chachomim, so what was the chachomim's reaction? Kol matana she'ena. Shemikdisha mukdashet en matana. Any gift that is not such a secure gift, that if the recipient is makdishit, it's not hekdesh, it's not a matana. And so therefore, Beis Shammai now understood that since Yoram Ben Uziel was makdish some of it, that means he has total ownership of it, and now the gift is a new gift, and the kids can keep it. Tana Rabbana, now a little story about Yonatan Ben Uziel. It's a sugi in Sukkah, it's repeated here. Shronim Talmidim Hayulo Lehillel Zaken, Hillel, who operated around the turn of the millennium, had 80 famous students. The top 30 deserve to have the Shechina rest on them like Moshe Rabbeinu. Another 30 were Ra'ui, were of a level, of a stature, that the sun should stop for them like it stopped for Yeshua Binun. And these are the 30 lowest. Asrim Beinonim, in the middle, there's 20 guys who are a little higher than this, a little lower than that. Godol Shebechulan, who was the greatest of all 80? Yonatan Ben Uziel. Katan Shebechulan Yochum and Zakkai. Yochum and Zakkai, the great Yochum and Zakkai, was the smallest of these Talmidim, the least significant. Amrolam Yochum and Zakkai, what did they say about him? Shel Hiniach Mikra Umishnah, he knew all of Tanakh, all of Mishnah, Gemara, Halachot, Vagadot, Diktuke Torah, Diktuke Sofrim, Kalin, Vachamorin, all the Kalvachomers, Gzerot Shavot, Tkufot, Gimatriot, Mishalot Kovsim, Mishalot Shualim, all the parables, Sichat Shedim, Sichat Kalim, all the mystical stuff, Sichat Malachi Asharet, Angelology, Davar Gadol, V'davar Katan, what's that? Davar Gadol, Masa Merkava, all the mystical stuff, Davar Katan, Havayot Abaye V'Rava, all the discussions of the Gemara. He knew everything. L'kayim HaShinemar, L'hanchil O'ava Yesh, V'otzoteim Amalei, Pasuk in Mishlei, that Hashem gives to those who love Him everything, and He fills the treasure house. If this is the smallest of them, imagine what the greatest of these Talmidim was like. So Amrul Avon Yotam and Uziel, who was the greatest one, if he was studying Torah, a bird flying over him would be burned. It was such a spiritual experience that the bird would be burned. Okay, the first part of Mishnah Zion, Haomer Zebni Ne'eman. If a fellow identifies somebody as his son, he's trusted, and that son is now a Yoresh. Ze Achim, if he says, this is my brother, Eino Ne'eman. Now this, of course, is a halacha that chiefly revolves around the issue of Yibum and Yerusha. So if he says, this is my son, and we didn't know that he had other sons, his wife is not Potter from Yibum. If, on the other hand, we didn't know he had any brothers, and he says, this is my brother, he's not Ne'eman, and his wife can marry when he dies without having to worry about Yibum. But if he identifies somebody as a brother, how does that affect Yerusha? V'yitol imo b'chalko. since he identified this guy as his brother, if father dies, then he has to let this guy share his chalak. He can't take away the other brother's chalakim. We'll see what the other brothers say about this. But if he inherited, let's say there's a total of 10 brothers, no bechor, 10 brothers, $1 million in the estate. He gets 100,000. He has to split the 100,000 with this guy, because according to him, there's another brother. Now, mate, what happens if this guy who he identified as a brother and he gave him 50,000 of his, of that, let's say he dies, yachzur nechassim lekoman, the 50 comes back to him. Now, filur nechassim mekom acher, but let's say that this guy who he identified as the brother, the one we'll call the safek, or brother in quotes, let's say he got property from some other source, he bought it, whatever, then yershu echavimo. Then, indeed, all of the other brothers get part of his inheritance. We'll see how that works out. All right. Now, first, Zebni Neman, Lama Hilchata. Why are we saying that if a man identifies his son, he's trusted? For what purpose? Yudam Shmuel, the Yorsho, to be his heir. V'liftor d'ishto min ha-yibum, in order to say that the wife is exempt from Yibum. Now, wait a second. The Yorsho, Pshita. That's a no-brainer that he's going to get the Yerusha. The answer is liftor d'ishto min ha-yibum mitzrichalei. We needed it for the second part, which is that his statement, that's my son, has such credibility that we say absolutely this is his son, and therefore the wife is potter miyibum. Hanami tanina, that's also brighter. Mi shamar b'shat mitato yesh li banim neman yesh li achim eino neman. This is a Mishnah in Kiddushin. If a man says at the time of his dying I have sons, we believe him. The wife's potter miyibum. If on the other hand he says I have brothers that we didn't know about, eino neman, and she's still potter miyibum. So the answer is, Hatam de lo muchzak lan ba'ach. Let's talk about a case where we didn't know he had a brother. Ha cha'af agav de muchzak le ba'ach. Even though we knew he had a brother, and now the only question is, does he have a son? And he says, I do have a son, which means the chazaka coming in was that she was zekuka li'ibum, and now his statement, I have a son, is pot to her, we still believe him. So that's what the reason for this statement is. Ami Yosef from Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mimnei ma amru zeb b'ni neman. So now what's the reason that you have credibility to say zeb b'ni? Ho, in other words, to pater your wife. Ho il uval shamar gerashti ishti neman. Since if a husband says, I divorced my wife and we believe him, therefore he has the ability, just with his own statement, to exempt her from Yibum. When he says zeb bni, it also exempts her. So Rav Yosef reported this in the name of Rav Yehuda and the name of Shmuel. Then Rav Yosef turned around and said, I must have gotten it wrong, because Marid Avram, Ribbono Shel Olam, Tali Tanya b'lo Tanya. We're taking a statement which is in the Mishnah and explaining it via something that's not. That's backwards. Elaid Marachidmar. You know what was really said? I had it wrong. Amr Yonam Rashwam, Mimne Mamru Zebni Neman. Why does our Mishnah state that rule? Ho ilu viadola gasha. Since a husband at any point could divorce his wife, therefore he could, in his own actions, pater from Yibum. And since that's the rule, when he says Zebni, he's also pater from Yibum, is believed. Now, Rav Yosef, then Rav Yosef on his own commented, Hasha de'amar tamrin and ho'il, since we said the principle of ho'il. In other words, since I have the power, if I were to exercise it, to exempt her from Yibum, therefore I'm also trusted without exercising it, that she's part of Yibum. So since we employ ho'il, therefore, Baal Shamar Girashti Dishti Neman, if a man says I divorced my wife, he's believed. Ho'il uviyadol agasha, since, after all, he could, in fact, divorce her if he wanted to. Now, Kiyat Rav Yitzchak by Yosef from Rav Yochanan, he gave a quote from Rav Yochanan, Baal Shamar Gavashti Dishti, Eino Neman, if a husband says I divorced my wife, we don't believe him. We'll see in what case that happens. So, Menapeach Rav Sheshit Biyadeh, Rav Sheshit was kind of waving with his hands, Azaleh Ho'il to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef's Ho'il is gone, it's flown away. In other words, it got chopped down by Rav Yochanan. Because the reality is, of course, a husband always could divorce his wife, and yet Rav Yochanan's halacha was that if a husband says, I divorced my wife, we don't believe him. We don't consider her divorced. Is that true? Eini v'amar v'chia bar avinam Rabbi Yochanan. We have another quote from Rabbi Yochanan. Baal shamar garashti dishti neman. He is trusted. So do we have a conflict in reports from Yochanan? No. Lo kasha. Kam l'mafreya kam l'haba. Meaning if a husband, in reporting about something that already happened, says, I already had divorced her at the time. So, for instance, a man was married to a woman for 10 years. And in the last year of that marriage, there are witnesses that she was sleeping with somebody else. And then he comes and says, oh, I'd already divorced her. We don't believe him. Because he doesn't have the power to divorce her retroactively. But Lahaba, meaning if he says, I divorced her, that anything that happens from here on in, we do believe him. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, when is a Neman? Is Neman Lahaba? So then the question is asked, Ibayalahu, Amar Lamafreya, what if he stands up today and says, I divorced her a week ago to try to affect something that happened in the last week, and we don't believe him? Do we take that statement and, yes, apply it positively in the future? The question is, mi palgin and dibura. It's a sugi in Sanhedrin. Do we, palgin and dibura, meaning, do we take a statement which is a valid statement for certain circumstances but not others and allow it to be valid where it's valid? Or do we say that because the statement is not fully valid, we ignore it totally? So, for instance, here when he says, I divorced her a week ago, since for the last week that we're talking about, it won't be valid, therefore it shouldn't be valid for the future, or could we split it? So now, Rav Mari v'Rav Zvid, Chadamar Malginim, Chadamar Lo Palginim. So we have a machloka between these two Amoraim, whether or not we accept the statement for the part that it works. So Maish Tami de Rava, why would there be a discussion? After all, Amar Rava, Rava said, Ish Poni Baal Ishti, a man testifies that another man had relations with his wife. Hu v'achar mitztafin largo, this fellow, the husband, and some outside guy can become Edim together to have the adulterer killed. Lahorgo, Valor Lahorga, obviously only the adulterer. The wife can't be killed because the husband can't testify against his wife. So what do you see? We see that Palginin is a slam dunk. We take their statement and apply it where it applies, even though it can't apply fully. So the answer is betray goofy Palginin. When there are two different people that are being affected, then we do say Palginin. And we say it can apply to that person, the adulterer, and not to the other one, the wife. B'chad gufi lo palginan, but it's possible, you could argue, and this is the position of the one that says lo palginan, that in reference to one person, we don't do a palginan, we say, yes, it doesn't work for the past, but it does work for the future. No, it either works for this woman or it doesn't work for this woman. Right? Good. Now a story. Ahuda avi kashachi, the guy was dying. Amrulei itate leman. Who can your wife marry? Meaning, what's her status? Amrulehu chazil kahana rabba. She could marry a kohen gadol. Of course, he doesn't really mean that. Because here's the problem. This guy had brothers. This guy had no sons. So if she's really still married to him, she can't marry anybody. She has to do yibum. If, on the other hand, he had divorced her, she could marry anybody. Not a kohen gadol, but we meant that sort of as an hyperbole. Amrava mai nechushla. What's the problem? First of all, we have the rule that he's Neman. So Abaye said to him, we have another report from Yochanan saying that if a man says a divorce by wife, he's not Neman. So didn't we already answer? And this is all about Lahaba. The guy's on his deathbed and he's trying to demonstrate that his wife in the future may marry somebody else because he divorced her. So Abaye says, are we supposed to rely lehalacha on the resolution of a contradiction? So Ravel of Natan Barami. So you know what he said? Chushla. He said, you know what? Abaye is right. And we can't let her marry because we have to worry that perhaps Rabbi Yochanan really meant Eino Neman even for the future. All right. There was a guy who we knew had no brothers. And as he was dying, he had no kids. When he was dying, he said, I have no brothers, so the wife can marry. What should we worry about? First of all, our chazaka was he had no brothers. Second of all, when he was dying, he said he had no brothers. So what's to worry about? There are people who say that there's some edim over far away who know that he has brothers. So maybe we should be worried that there really are such Edim. No, come on. The Edim aren't here right now. Edim that might be in Japan right now on a trip, they may know something not irrelevant. But wait a second. Lav Hainu Rav Chanina, famous statement of Rav Chanina, Edim etzad istar v'teaser. For instance, if this is the sugi in the second paragraph of Ketubot, if a woman was a shvuya, and she comes back and she says, I was taken captive, and I am tohora, we believe her, pesha asar upesha itir. But what if Edim come and say she was taken captive? She doesn't have Pesha Asar anymore. So if Edim come and say she was taken captive and she on her own just says, I wasn't violated, we don't believe her. So what happens when the woman comes on her own and says, I was taken captive and I'm Tahara, we believe her, and we don't raise the possibility that there are Edim somewhere far away that knows she was taken captive, taking away her Pesha Asar. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Imekalna b'shfuya, b'shund menavla nafshal agabishavoy. Sure, we're lenient when it comes to a shvuya. We have lots of leniencies when it comes to a shvuya. They can testify for each other, etc. Nekel be'eshet ish, we may be mekel about an eshet ish, that this woman may really be zkuka li'ibum. There really may be brothers, and people are saying that they're edim that know about a brother. Rav indeed said, you're right, and therefore we have to be choshesh. And when a guy who we didn't know he had any brothers, and on his deathbed he says he has no brothers, dies, if there really are rumors that there are edim somewhere that know about brothers he has, we have to be choshesh and look into it. Okay, the end of the mission said, Ze achi eno neman. Now, v'idach my kamri, what are the other brothers saying that's causing this guy to have to split the Yerusha with this brother he identified? The other brothers don't have to, but they will inherit from him. If they say, yeah, he's our brother, so he should get everything. He should be a normal brother. So it can't be that they agree he's a brother. Then this whole case falls apart. They must be saying that, no, he's not our brother. But they deny it. We're not going to share money with him. So what does the Seifa say? That if he got property from somewhere else, the other brothers inherit with him. Well, wait a second. They said he's not our brother. How can they suddenly be getting property from him? So it must be that they said, we don't know if he's our brother. One brother says, here is our long-lost brother. And they said, we don't know. So therefore, what happens? That misafek, they don't have to give him any part of their Yerusha. But when he dies, so according to this brother, he's an heir. And therefore, as brothers to the one who's making the declaration, they all share in the inheritance. Now, Amar Rava Zotomer Manele Biarchava Lomer Iniodea Patur. Rava says this leads to a very strange conclusion. If I say you owe me money and you say I don't know, then you're Patur, as the same as Kofar Bakol. But that's Bari Neged Shema. Because here's what happened. Is the I say here's my brother, and the other brothers say we don't know, and they're Patur from paying anything. That's very odd. So Abaye defends it and says, Liola me malacha chayiv. Normally, when I say mana li biyad chave, and you say eni odea, you're chayiv. Chayiv in a shvu at least. V'shani hacha, sorry, you're chayiv to pay. V'shani hacha dechamana l'acher biyad chadami. This is different because here, what the claim is that you have money that belongs to somebody else in your hands. And then when you say eni odea, you really are potter. But if I make a claim that you owe me money, so that's the thing. The declarant, the fellow who's making the declaration, is not claiming that it's money owed him, it's money owed somebody else. And in that case, indeed, you're part. Okay, make achzul nechassim koman. Bari Rava, shavach sheshavchu nechassim me'aleihem. Let's say that the property, after this fellow died, became worth more. Then does it come back the same way to the brother who made the declaration? Right? So now, b'shevach ha-megelach tefayim lo tibayelach. If it's shevach that reaches up to the shoulders, meaning he got a field and then the brother, this Suffolk brother, worked the field and it became tall stuff and ready to harvest and he died, that's not a question. The chinoflo and chosim ha-kumacher dami, that's like him getting something from somewhere else. That's his stuff and it goes, back into the, where it came from, which is this other brother made the declaration. Kitibayelach shevach she'enim ha-megelach tefayim. What if it just, the field just got better? Like, for instance, a tree got thicker. Arva aska sirton, or land that got some stuff pushed up from the river so that it's now stronger land. Mai, does it go back into the general pot or just come back to the brother who made the declaration? And the answer to that is teku. And with that teku, we will pause, pick it up in the next Mishnah and the next podcast, and wish everyone a wonderful day.